Hachshavas HaVreich run all the way on the bottom of page I. The Rebbe's Chul Segalina was returned to the Yisayit of the entire Sefer, which is developing the Hageshim, one's emotions and one's way of thinking with Hachavas HaMachshav and Demyonis of Kedusha. And at the bottom of the page, on page Ayin, he discusses something that we always worry about. And he says, "V'lo yisaymar im kain rak pri dimyani levadhu." So the Rebbe was describing an example of a machshava, of a thought, strengthening that machshava when a person is davening, to, as he says, throughout his svarim, to join together with the entire universe or the entire world, with every single being in being misbakal to Hashem, halu as Hashem and Hashemayim, and how the person should imagine that at that moment in his mind, he should imagine all of the elements and everything that exists above and below, everything joining together with him in this great song, Takadosh Baruch Hu, and so on. So the problem is, he says, "V'leisayma am kein rak pridim yani levadhu." So a person would might think, and a person, it's very common that a person would think this, that all of this is only dimyonis. It's my It's a dimyon. In other words, it's not really something that first of all, I'm not really holding in this place in Avodas Hashem. And what is this that I'm imagining? Nirshakuloni yachad al yoinim shabedimyoni levad. That it's just my imagination alone. That's all. Nirshakuloni yachad al yoinim v'atachtanim kovim mishtachavim. That it's just, we have many, you know, as we grow up with many dimyonis, we have a lot of dimyonis, all kinds of fantasies and delusions and so on. So a person might think that this machshava of joining together with the entire world in my Avodas Hashem, in this song Takadosh Baruch Hu, that it's another dimyon. Aval haskeis u'shma es divrei Elokim chayim ha'omer b'sifrei kodesh. It says, listen to what we see in the Sifrei Kodesh. She'ish Yisraeli. This is a very big yisoid that's in the Sfarim. She'ish Yisraeli, a Jew im oved b'sairus ahava, a shar midol Hashem. If a Jew tries to be Eved Hashem with his iris of love, or one of the other midas of serving Hashem, Av Shirak Nidma Loishem is Eira B'Ahava Amitis, even though it only seems to him that it's his iris. The last part of the last parak, the Rebbe was warning us and talking to us about Dimyonis, imagining that we're on a madrega that we're not, but here he reminds us of the other extreme, which is what it says in the Sfarim HaKadoshim, that if a person is Oved Hashem with his Oris of Ahava or any other Mida, Af Shirak Nidma Loishem is Oris of Ahava Midis, even though it only appears to him that he's having this his Oris, Ve'en Ela Mitasa. See, and it's not even true that he's having this iris. Like we spoke about many times, I'm sure everybody here, this happens to all of us, that the emes is that a person, let's say, is in a good mood, and something good happened to him, or something good, he's looking forward to something good during that day. So, as a result of that, he bechlal is in more of an elated state. He feels more upbeat and elated. So then when he comes into davening, so it could be a davening, it's, really, it's, you know, I got a new pair of sneakers, I'm going to be out there on the court today, it's, you know, 2 o'clock, I got that date I wanted, you know. Like, so in other words, what does it mean, Bichlal? That whole hisiris of Ahava, is it the Rabbanu Shalom, is it, or is he just like, he's in a good mood, you know, he's feeling happy about life, which is good, that's good, Hashem likes that. He's feeling happy, he's feeling good, and the hisiris is not hisiris of Ahava, it's not hisiris of love for Hashem, it's hisiris of love for himself. It's a dimyon that he loves God. And the hisiris is hisiris of he feels good. So, Shirak Nidmalishim Sarebi Ahava Amitis. Vein lamitosa, but it says in this form, even if it seems to the person that the hisiris that he's feeling is a hisiris of a havel Hashem, but it's not vein lamitosa. It's not really a havel Hashem that he's experiencing at that moment. It's something else, but he's pouring it into the zither. Right? He's pouring it into the Tehillim. He's pouring it into a song. He's pouring it into a Rikud. But the origin of that, his iris, is not necessarily Hashem is Baruch. The origin of this iris is himself or something else in the world. So the Svarim say, Gam kein toivehi. It's also good. This is the Rebbe Lishitosu throughout his Svarim. Gam kein toivehi. As long as a person doesn't delude himself into imagining that he's reached the tachlis navadis Hashem, which he spoke about in the last parak, as long as a person doesn't delude himself with that hisayrus, but the actual hisayrus, even though it's enila mitasa, the Rebbe says gam kein toivehi. That itself is good. Now, why is that also good? Anybody who learned Musa Svarim, especially the later Musa Svarim, when I say Musa Svarim, I'm not talking about Mesil Sharm or Chavis Alvav, but I'm talking about the later Musa Svarim from the Tzaddikim, from the Tzaddikim, Rabbi Sol Salanta, and his Talmidim, the later Tzaddikim. There, a lot of the Hizbainus of Musar is to look over any Hargosha that you have. In other words, you have a certain emotion, and anybody who's learned the writings of the Alter from the Vardik, and from Slobodka, and other Tzaddikim will see that those tzaddikim insisted that we take every single hargosha and that we put it under the microscope to check whether or not it's real, it's not real, it's whole, it's false, it's blemished, it's healthy, it's not healthy. That's the hisbainus of the tzaddikim of the Bali Musar. In other words, if you went into that thinking that this was something which was real, the likelihood is by the time you finish it's not real. Or maybe you could salvage a little part of it that had something that was bilti l'Hashem levadai, that had that chelik elokah in it, and the rest of it is shaker, it's a lie, and it's a brutal avaida, and it's a way of those tzaddikim. The way of the tzaddikim, the Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, was not like that at all. Not to be dishonest, and a person has to know where he's holding and so on. However, any slightest hisayrus, even if it's enila mitasa, even if it's not really, really b'emes l'Hashem, so the tzaddikim say, gam kein toivi. Why? Why? What about the sheker? What about the lie? So the tzaddikim hold like this, kevin shepnimius nafsha hakadosha, misayrevis b'emes l'Hashem. The tzaddik and the Talmud Baal Shem Tov say, because the emes is that there's an emes la'amita, and the deepest truth of this person's existence is that that nafsha kadosh is misareres be'emes l'Hashem. Really, really, any time that you and I are happy over the silly things in life, or even the things that are more chashuv in life, any time that we have his iris of ahava for a wife, for a child, for a friend, this is iris of ahava. So we've seen this always in the writings of Mitzvah Zivus, Bnei Machshava Tovus, the Rebbe says that that's Be'emes Lashem also. Be'emes is Lashem. All Ahavas of the world, like the Baal Shem Tov said, and the Talmud brings down in many places, and all the Tzaddikim from the Baal Shem Tov, and that any Ahava that a person has, it's the Ahava, the Shoresh of the Ahava is from the Midas Achesed, from the Midas Ahava. The Shoresh of the Ahava is the soul's love of God. It's the love of Hashem. It's only that it's mislabesh, it's enclosed right now in loving a new pair of sneakers, or in a higher madrega, loving a friend, loving a child, and so on. It's mislabesh, and then it could fall to even lower levels. It could fall to even lower levels, which means it could fall, God forbid, into the side of tumor. A person loves somebody that's not good for him, or loves something that's wrong, or loves something that's, God forbid, even, you know, destructive and terrible. But the etzem of the that experience, of that emotion of love, is lashab. The essence of that emotion, of that feeling of love, is that neshama is experiencing is this iris of ahava lashem. So it's not a lie. In other words, when you're all excited and you're happy, you know, because you're in love, but it's not really with the Rebbeinu Shel Olam that you're in love. So you're davening is with his iris. So gam ken tovehi. That's also good. The reason that it's all so good is because the be'etzim, he says, came to pnimius nafshei kedusha misareis be'emes l'Hashem. Because the underlying nakuda, the inner point of that hisayrus, is be'emes l'Hashem. Rak, let me just finish the sentence here, 1 second. The rak hagufanius hi hamasteris ayrus. It's only that physical life, or the physical levush of what I'm experiencing in this world, is masteris aisa, is concealing and hiding the inner nekuda of this ahava, which is emes l'Hashem. V'kevan shagam hagufanis misayveris, k'vachod lahastar mimena. He says v'kevan shagam hagufanis misayveris. So when the person experiences this hisiris, that even in his physical regular life there's this hisiris, kvar chodla ha-hastara himena, that itself, even though the hisiris is something in the world, but when that happens, kvar chodla ha-hastara himena, what you're really dancing about and what you're really feeling elated about is the chelek elokim mal that's inside of you, is the truth of God's existence inside of you. That's, you know, you're happy about something of this world, or you feel that midah of ahava, you love something of the world. But that hisiris, in a certain way, that hisiris itself is ma'irer than the kud of ahava, and takes away some of the hester, and removes some of the coverings, and some of the concealment that is hiding Hashem from you. So that ahava, that his iris for something of the world, which is just an external avodah, that's not really true. That's just something which is it's a levush, it's a garment of this world. But the pnimius of this iris is built in Hashem. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What Azriel?
It seems, you know, the way I'm looking at it is if someone has something good happening to someone, it's an aspect of Hakaras HaTov, and, you know, maybe not a Hava, but it's at least it's a recognition that's the source. Or if someone positive is having a very hard time, tends to go and battle with the Torah. It's also because you understand that's a Makor. I'm showing you Makor.
Right, it's an expression of Amunah.
Right, so, yeah. You know, that's how I, you know, in my head, that's what I think is about it.
It's but you're right, Israel, and that on a very basic level, those are expressions of one's emunah in Hashem, Hakaras HaTov, and turning to the Hashem, because he's the address and so on. All of that's emunah, but we're talking about something beyond that, where even if the person is not thinking along those lines at all, In other words, it's almost a subconscious thing that he had, you know, there was, for whatever reason, there's a hisiris of ahava for somebody in this world. And it's not that he's thinking, I want to thank the Baruch Shalom for giving me my kids. I want to thank the Baruch Shalom for my wife. I want to thank the Baruch Shalom for my friend, whatever it is. It's not, or for, you know, for getting this opportunity at work. It's not even. We have ways of expressing that in our davening, of course. He's not even thinking about that. He doesn't know what it is. There's like a makif. There's this surrounding, enveloping, hergish feeling of being like being elated. He's not saying thank you, Baruch Shalom. And when he says those words, you know, he's not talking about, you know, what, that particular inyan of thinking about it. He's just feeling elated, and he attributes this feeling of elation to his love for God. And what the Rebbe is saying is, in many cases, it's not a love for God that's on any kind of a conscious level that he's feeling at that time, but it's an appreciation. All of that is true. But it's a hisairus of that mida of ahava that's misairer when the covering of unhappiness or the covering of boredom is taken away, is removed from us. There are many coverings. And which we're going to see in a second from the Tanya. There are many coverings over that nekuda of elokus inside of us, of that ahav Hashem. We all love Hashem as Baruch, and we all want to be able to express that love. But because of all the hasterim, because of all of the concealments of this world, the concealments that are already there, and the concealments that we bring upon ourselves because of our aveiros and our machshavos and diburim and so on, all of those coverings make it very difficult for us to access that ahava. What happens at a time of elation, and it could be over something, you know, good that happened at work, or something good that happened in one's relationship with a friend, a family, and so on. So that covering of marashchayr, of darkness, and of atzvus, and of sadness, that covering that lies over that nekuda is peeled away, and what's being experienced, even though my understanding of it is that if I think about it, I know that it's not really Lashem, it's something else. But the pnimius of it is that my chelak elokah, that godly part of me, for a moment was able to breathe. It's suffocating under the sadness and under the depression that comes as a result of the matzav of the world, of being in this world, and of my own aveiros. And that, as we've learned in Eretz Hatshuva, and we saw from the Rebbe himself many times, all of that brings upon a person this darkness. And when a person is able to have a simchas achayim for anything, for narishkeit, that means that at that moment he's able to remove those coverings, and he's able to come to that point of simcha, of ahava. And that itself is an experience of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Again, it could be mislabish in very, very dangerous things. But still, the pnimius of it is that it's mitzad nefesh hakadosha. He says, "I tanya chelak aleph perek mem dalet." So let me read to you just a little. I'll read to you a few sentences from Tanya. He says, "Ba'akdam lechelak beis m'shar yichud amuna, maybe b'shem harav hakadosh." Allah Pazik Yainosi Samasi. The Baruch Shalom calls Knesset Yisrael, the Baruch Shalom calls the Jewish people Yainosi Samasi. My dove, my perfect one, Yainosi Samasi. So he says, Ki Yaina, why does the Baruch Shalom call us? There are many reasons, but the Baruch Shalom calls us a Yaina, calls us a dove. So there's a Mordeke Torah here. He says, Miloshen Oina, Ki Yoina Miloshen Oina. He says, Yoina, that bird, is Miloshen Oina. It's Miloshen of Oina, which means deception. Oina means means to deceive. Ashal kein kol yichud avadasai hagam shumu'une. He says, Yenosi Samosi, the Rebbe Shlom says that every Jew is my Yona, my perfect one. What does that mean, Yenosi Samosi? So he says that even if you have a Jew that that's deceiving himself, that his avodas Hashem is b'tayrus einah, the whole thing is, in other words, it's not really, really what he thinks it is. It's an einah. It's einah. Hagam shumu'una, af al pichin hitmima. It's still perfect, meaning it's still holy. Hakam Hashem hakodesh. You hear this? Yainasi samasi. Yainasi samasi. That the Rebbeinu Shlom says that every Jew in his Avodas Hashem who's trying, even though he has many demyonos, he imagines and he fantasizes and he thinks, well, you know, in his Avodah he thinks that it's all Hashem's Baruch that he's talking about and thinking about and so on. And in that way, his Avodah has in it this quality of Aina, of deception, of self-deception. Yeah. Even though it has that, every Jew is still the Rebbeinu Shlom is my Yaina. Meloshon Aina. And it's Yanosi Samosi. There's a Tmimus. And there's something precious and holy about that itself. You know, there's a famous Maisa that many times we said it over here in Shul. It's a whole involved story, but there were two maskilim, there were two not very religious people and very cynical Jews back in the days of the Beditshevus Chusei Galenu. There were two Jews like that who were in the theater. They were comedians and they were actors in the theater at that time, and They part of what they like to do is to make fun of tzaddikim, to make fun of Yiddishkeit. And there was a maisa that they heard that the Beditshever was in town, and they heard that his avoda, that the avoda of the Beditshever was absolutely like wild, and they saw in that an opportunity to develop a new act for their repertoire. So there are different versions of the story and how this happened, but they saw, I don't remember the protem right now to go into, but they saw through the window on a Shabbos, they saw a davening of the Beditshever, what was going on with the Beditshever. He used to jump from one end of the world to the other end of the world, the Beditshever, on the table, under the table, and this whole thing. And then these two guys were putting on a show, and they were going through the motions of the davening of the Beditshev in their show, and they're making the whole thing with all the tenuas. It was perfect, all the movements of the Beditshev and everything else. And in the Maise, when they started doing that, the two of them started to make these motions and started to record them and started to daven with the voice of, which they impersonated, the Beditshever, and with the turning their head and their eyes and everything that they did. So then the two of them, they kept on going. Like they got into it, and they had a complete and total turnover. And then they came to the Beditshever crying, and they became big, big Bali Tshuva. And the Beditshever's master says in the Swam that they became big Ovdei Hashem, big Hasidim of the Beditshever. Means that which we call in life an act of Kedusha, we're making believe that we're holy. That's not really making believe. What's making believe in our lives is when we do things that are not holy, you understand? When we do things that are not good, we're acting. We're making believe. When we do something that's holy, when we do something Adav Shav Kedusha, we express Ahavala to Hashem Zbach, that's not an act. That's the real thing. And therefore, the impersonation of holiness. Reb Sadler talks about this. He says by Esav is just the opposite. The whole inyan of Esav, of Amalek, that whole inyan is, which is referred to in the Svar Makdashim as in Chazal, as a kaif, as a monkey that impersonates. Esav can impersonate holiness, but it's like a monkey. It means the monkey can imitate and can do all kinds of things, but underneath is a monkey. There's nothing there. So Esav can wear the levushim. Esav can get dressed up a certain way, and Esav can act a certain way, but he's Esav. When it comes to Yaakov, when it comes to a Jew, even if Be'etzim, at that moment, he's not thinking about God, but he is impersonating an Eved Hashem. Again, it's not the highest Madrega. No, it's not the Madrega of Lishma. And the Tachlis of one's Avoda, of course, is to go beyond that. But what the Rebbe is saying is that the Swarm teaches that it's very, very, very important to know that even our acts of impersonating Tzaddikim or acting in the ways of Kedusha in everything that we do, that too is a revelation, as it reveals the Nefesh HaKedosha, and that in Pnimius and Pnimius, that's really what's happening. It's the other stuff that's not happening. It's like when you think you're into doing an Aveira, that's phony. And if at that moment when a person is all into that Aveira, Hashem Yerachem, or into saying something bad, whatever it is, so the microscope would be set on that person, and we would see what's going on inside, right when he's having this big hisiris of tumor, God forbid, at that moment, so the chelik elokah is crying. It's in terrible stress. It's in a state of horrible, horrible, horrible anguish. Even though, when you look at the person, it looks like he's having a great time. It looks like he's living it up. But in the pneumia, that's an act. That's phony. Really, really, he's crying. And when a person is having, when there's a hisiris of when a person rather is impersonating Kedusha and he's acting in a way that's holy, even though he doesn't feel like it, he goes through the motions of holiness, like those two maskilim. He goes through the motions of Kedusha. So the Svarim are telling us that is revealing the pnimius of who he is, and be'emes it helps to remove some of the coverings, and that a person can actually experience the Kedusha. And that is hinted at in the words Yainasi Samasi, that even though there's an Aino that's taking place, there is a delusion, there is some deception that's taking place. Still, there's a Tamim, still it's Tamasi, because a Jew is perfect. And the perfection of the Jew doesn't mean that everything he does is right. But the perfection is Mitzad, the Neshama Mitzad, who he really is. Who he really is that mitzias of Ahavas Hashem. So that's what it means. Hagam shumu'un afa pichen hitmima. Yainosi samosi. Hagam shumu'un afa pichen hitmima. That's what it means, yainosi samosi. What is it?
I understand what you're talking about to a point, but it seems like it's the default setting is that the human beings and, you know, effort to do the other thing. Understand it's what your Hashem likes to do and all that. But, are you saying that the real you is never you, is never the behemoth? The real you is the Hashem. That's what we're saying.
Yeah.
That's the answer. Even though
that's not an excuse to act like a behemoth. I'm not talking about that. No, that's, I think I said at least three or four times. Not, you have to be careful about deluding ourselves, and we have to live and do the right things. But as far as
who you really are,
that's right. And that's a very important thing. If a child growing up in a house begins to feel that he's really not good, so then he's not going to become any better. On the other hand, does that mean that the kid stands there, you know, and you find out in school he took out a water gun, his teacher said, sit down, he shot the teacher in the face with a water gun. So does that mean, oh, Yanasi Samasi. See, he's such a tzaddik, he's such a tzaddik. No. The way that the Rebbeinu Shel Olam is mechanech us is the same way that we have to mechanech our children, which is that you be'etzem are holy and pure, and that act that you just did, what you just did is out of character. It's out of character with who you really are. And you're betraying your deeper self by doing such a thing. And therefore, doing something which is against the will of Hashem is hypocritical. You see, what you find very often, even it sneaks into unzer, into our world of orthodoxy, that you'll have, like somebody, you'll have someone that say he's davening and he's shuckling, he's going through the motions and this and that, and then, you know, like they'll catch him, you know, watching like a DVD or something like that. I don't even know what that is, I never saw one, but I hear it all the time. But they'll catch him like on something, right? So then like a parent will say, or a friend will say, hypocrite. You hypocrite. You're such a phony. Right? Or let's say you're learning Mishil Shisharm, and you're learning Chavis Lavavis, and you're learning Shevet Musa, and you're learning Shemir Saloshin, and everything. And then, you know, one of your friends catches you saying, like, man, you know, like a word of bittle about somebody. Oh, Tzadik Yisrael Olam, here he is, the little Chavetz Chaim of the five towns, and look what's going on over here. You're such a phony, you're such a hypocrite. that way of talking and thinking about other people and thinking about oneself is extremely dangerous. But more than that, it's a sheker. It's a lie. It's not true. Because when the person is trying to speak the right way, and the reason he's learning Shemir Saloshin is because in his kishkas he's crying out to perfect his speech. The fact that he said something that was not right, or that he was caught off guard looking at the movie or something, that doesn't mean that his davening, his learning, and his shuckling, his closing the eyes is meaningless and is phony. That watching of the film and the word of Lashon Hara is phony. That's something which is inconsistent. Because Be'etzem, he's the person with the eyes that are closed, and the person with the Shemir Zalosh that's trying to become a tzaddik. And what he did was out of character. I remember years ago I read one of Dr. Tversky's books, and he said that he remembers growing up, his father was a big tzaddik. He remembers growing up in the house that when he would do something that was wrong, what his father would always say is, this past nish for dear. It doesn't become you. It doesn't become you. What other children grow up hearing is, that is who you are, uh-huh. I found you, I caught you. Now we know who you really are. You're not the Shemir Saloshin Yid. You're not the Chavetz Chaim Yid. You're the same selfish, rotten Baltaiva that I knew and before you reached Shemir Saloshin. Now you put on a coat and you put on this and your tzitzis are hanging on the floor. You're not fooling mommy and daddy. We got your number. And you start to say it to yourself also. When a person works on himself and then he slips into something, God forbid, that's really, really bad. So then he looks back and he says, Rebbeinu Shel Olam, 2 years I didn't do this aveira. Whatever it is, and I'm going like a bent tire, and then when it happens, after 2 years out of there, the person says, "There it is, there's my pnimius here. It's surfaced. This is who I really am. And everything that I was doing for the past 2 years, all of my tshuva, and all of my crying, and all of my davening, and all of my tikkun amidus, and all of my all the takanis, and everything that I did in my life, was all a big game. It was a farce." And now, you know, I blew my cover, and the real me has emerged. When a person thinks of himself like that, so then that's the end of his Yiddishkeit. And different ways, it goes slowly, it goes quickly, but you know, you don't feel like davening, you don't feel like learning, and you don't do any tshuva. The beginning of being an Eved Hashem is Yanasi Samasi. It's the beginning of being an Eved Hashem is Yanasi Samasi. are there any delusions? Are we deluding ourselves? Are there any fantasies? Yes, but Ashreinu Matayim Chalkeinu, if our fantasies are of Shmias Aloshin and of being tzaddikim, because every fantasy like that that a Jew has is a hisiris of who he really is. Mashainikain, the other fantasies, God forbid, that a person has of things that are not right, anything like that is not who he is. Is not who he is. So all the things that we do, all the things that we do that look like Esav, are just silly and hypocritical acts. It's hypocritical. Can you imagine somebody telling you, like when you're doing an aveira, God forbid, someone comes over and tells you, "Ah, you're such a hypocrite, because I know that you really are tzaddik." They don't do that so much, no? You're such a hypocrite. But like when he does do that thing, like he sneaks off and he's got that movie or whatever, he says that word of lashon hara. So they don't tell then the oilam doesn't say to the person, you know, the one who catches doesn't say to him, you're the biggest hypocrite in the world, because I know be'emes that you're tzaddik yisoid oilam. I know that you're the purest, holiest person on earth, and that what you're doing right now, you don't really want to do. If you have a Rebbe that talks to you that way, then you could grow into big Eved Hashem. Most of us didn't hear that growing up. You know, you could try to do mitzvahs and ma'asim tovim, and then you have an off day, and you're caught, or you catch yourself, and either somebody else, or the Sitrachra tells you, there you are. Here's the real you. And you begin to feel that you think that's you. It's a whole different perspective in Avodas Hashem and being in this world. Every time a Jew acts in a way of holiness, it's because he's chalishing to be holy. And every time that a person acts in a way that's anti-holy, that's impure, it's because he's faking and impersonating the goyim. That's all. It's the most insincere thing. You look at this person, and when he's doing that veir, he seems so sincere. And the same guy in davening, when you look at him in davening, you're like, you know, he doesn't look like he's into it at all. Because his aveir seems sincere, and his Yiddishkeit seems insincere. That's not true. His aveiros are insincere. His aveiros are insincere, and whatever little Yiddishkeit he squeezes out, That's who he is. That's the Shemin Zayis Zach. That's the Ohagonis. That's who he is. That's Be'emes who he is. And therefore, a person can look at his life and can count those few moments of Kedusha, and he's able to be a Jew because it's Rav Bi'amat and Tmein Bi'at Tahir and Misham Bi'at Tzadik and Zayin Bi'at Eskeser Yisach. That's the Nes of Chanukah. What is the Nes of Chanukah? Nes of Chanukah means, Rabbi Shalom, I only daven to you out of my whole davening. Let's say I daven today. So let's say there was 45 minutes in the morning, and another 10, 15 minutes later on, then Marv, another 10, 15 minutes. So altogether, it's an hour, a little bit more than an hour of davening. And then there are like, you know, 12, 13, 14 hours of Nairishkeit. Well, let's say there's an hour of learning, but the rabbim of my life are things that look like Esav. And the ma'atim of my life, the little bit of my life, are things that look like Yaakov Avinu. What's the Nes of Chanukah? The Nes of Chanukah is Rabbi Yad Ma'atim. That the little bit of who I am can conquer. In other words, that little bit of time. So if you take the davening, so the whole davening, let's say it was an hour and 15 minutes of the day, was an hour and 15 minutes. And the rest of the day that had all kinds of Nairishkeit, and I'm not talking about someone that's sitting in yeshiva and learning, but it's a person that has to go to work. The rest of the day was what? Could be 8, 9, 10, 11 hours of Nairishkeit. I mean, Nairishkeit that you're getting paid for, but it's still Nairishkeit. And how is it possible that I could be a Yid? And how could I be Ms. Gabra and any Nisyanis that I have? The Teretz is, because that little bit of oil entered into the world of eight, right? Was that little bit was able to conquer the many. The little bit inside of me that's holy was able to defeat a lot that was unholy. Why is that? And how does that happen, that the little bit can win over the much? How is it? Yishoyim biyad tzaddikim? The tzaddik is so frail, In other words, our davening is so skinny and so, you know, if our davening would be embodied, it would be like, you know, bent over or maybe like crawling on his knees, you know. So how could such a davening be victorious and save you from a nisayin during the day when the nisayin is like a gezunta nisayin? You know, it's got muscles and it's got, you know, strong. And your whole davening is like this, you know, little broken person like in a wheelchair. How could that win? How could it be such a thing? The Teretz is because it's real. That's all. Because that little bit, even though it's a little bit, it's real. It's a pashem and tahar b'chayisam shalkan gadol. It's real. That part of you is real. And anybody knows that when there's a milchama, when there's a war, the one who knows that it's true is going to win. The one who's really fighting for the truth is going to win. That's going to win. That's Bodhi Gemenusa. When it's true, you'll win. So it's a pella. It could be 11, 12, 13 hours. Not only that, look at let's take a person who's about tshuva. About tshuva. So a guy, you can look at this guy and he has like 28 years of tumma. Right? Whatever it is, he's got 20 years behind him, he's got a record, a long record of tumma. And then you know, all of a sudden, like he hears some lecture, so he's invited someplace for a Shabbos, and he has some beans and some barley, and they sing a couple of songs, and then he goes to a class, and he turns his whole life around. Or had some people divorced, they married to goyim, and they changed the whole life. How do you explain such a thing? There are 30 years of tumma, and there's 30 minutes of kedusha. 30 minutes of kedusha was able to defeat 30 years of tumma. How could 30 minutes of kedusha defeat 30 years of tumma? It's a nice of Hanukkah, no? That's Hanukkah. That's called Rabban Biad Maatim. The many, many years are defeated by the few minutes, by 30 minutes. Why is that? Because what strikes him, just like those maskilim that were making believe that the Beditshava, was that, this is the real thing. And that everything else I was doing was an act. The 30 years was just an act. There was a very complicated with many scenes and the acts. You know, it wasn't as elegant as Shakespeare, but it was theater. It was theater. And the person hears for the first time. He hears a Gemara. You know, you have a guy who tells you when you ask, it's always interesting to talk to Yidden. What is it about Yiddishkeit that what is it that turned your life around? Right? What was the nakuda that brought you back? So everybody has different stories. So I remember I was talking to a guy. This goes back a long time. Somebody explained to this guy a Torah from Reb Chaim Brisker in Lomdus. There's a guy that was completely not religious, and he was having this conversation with a Ben Torah. You know, there was some sort of a Shabbaton or something, and this guy like wasn't into so much the singing or whatever else was going on over there, but he had this conversation with this younger man, this yeshiva guy, and the yeshiva guy explained to him something in learning. He sent him over Reb Chaim. So he said, that's what did it for me. So what does that mean? So he says, so I was asking him, Reb Chaim, yeah, wow. See, he said that he never heard the truth in such a way. He never saw such a thing as true as that. So here's a guy, and he's not stam a guy. This person was an intellectual. Somebody who had read thousands and thousands of books. He wrote hundreds of papers. It was a person that was a thinking person. And Kalach Yad, some yeshiva bocher or a younger man tells him a Reb Chaim. They're two dinim. And this guy says, okay, I'm putting on film tomorrow. Can you imagine if Reb Chaim ever thought such a thing? When he said over that Torah, there's going to be some Jew someplace, you know, that's going to have such a mahapecha from that lamdas. whatever the Shirish is, each Jew, every Yid is an Olam Mamish. But that Nakuda, that of who he is, that was awakened by that truth of Reb Chaim. That's not even seeing Reb Chaim. If he would have seen Reb Chaim, Reb Chaim wouldn't even have to say anything. If he would have seen Reb Chaim. Which you have this Kaseida, such a thing. That's only because of America. That's a Chanukah. That's Rabbi Admatim. And the way that can, the reason that works, the reason that works is because Be'etzem Nafshei Kedoshah. That's what the Rebbe is saying, is that Be'etzem, he says, Yanasi Samasi. So Tani says the following. In Perek Memdal, which the Rebbe brings here, Memdal. I'm just going to read to you a couple, I'll read to you in English. The English, the translation is a little bit from the old English. It's all right. But it's much more beautiful than Lashon HaKodesh. The Tanya's Lashon HaKodesh is so beautiful. Great and more intense love than that, one which is likewise concealed in every soul of Israel as an inheritance from our ancestors, the Tanya says. A great and intense love which is concealed in every soul of Israel as an inheritance from our ancestors is that which is defined in Raya Mehimna and Zayar, like a son who strives for the sake of his father and mother, whom he loves even more than his own body, soul and spirit. For have we not all one father? And although one may ask, listen carefully now, and although one may ask, the Tanya says, who is the man and where is he? Who is this person? Who is the man and where is he who dares presume in his heart to approach and attain even a thousandth part of the degree of love of the faithful shepherd of Moshe Rabbeinu? Who? How dare you presume to think that the Zohar is talking about Moshe Rabbeinu? How dare you? And how dare you think that you? Who are you? Mihu zev ezahu? He says, nevertheless, a minute portion and particle of his great goodness and light illumines the community of Israel in each generation, as is stated in Tikkunim, that an emanation from him is present in every generation of Moshe Rabbeinu and every Jew. That's the jar of oil, the pure, 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 untouched. In every generation, to illumine them and so forth. Only this glow is in a matter of great, now here comes the English, of great occultation and concealment in the souls of all Israel. It's concealed. But to bring forth this hidden love from its concealment to a state of revelation, to bring forth this great love, to bring out this great love which is Bethlehem, who you are. That's who we really are. All the Esav stuff we're doing is just imitating. We're impersonating Esav. We're just making believe we're Esav. Just like, you know, when you hear the kids, you know, the kids say chill out or cool. What is that? So we realize that's silly. So we have more sophisticated ways of imitating Esav than the kids. So the kids don't know how to be sophisticated. So they just say it straight out. We don't do that. We act like we're religious Jews, but right, we have the lavush, and we talk like, you know, in a more sophisticated way, like Esav. But that's not bad. Some who we are. To be able to draw out this hidden love, to bring forth this hidden love from its concealment to a state of revelation, to be manifest in his heart and mind, to be revealed in his heart and mind. This is not far from any Jew. Which everybody knows is the site of the whole Tanya. It's very near to you. 30, 40, 50 years of Aveiros. And one imitation of Moshe Rabbeinu, of the Raya Mehimna, one imitation, can bring forth the Ahava Mesuteres, can bring forth the hidden love. was the Lubavitcher Rebbe's Chus Yegelinda that he had such a machshava to take a pair of tulin to throw it on some guy. But you know that there are many, many tzaddikim, other people that weren't such tzaddikim that didn't understand or that were against it. He had his own mahalach there. But what's the inyan of pulling somebody over and putting a pair of tzul on him? So Rabbi Waxman was here last Friday night. Remember he said that there was somebody that there was a Lubavitcher Chassid at the Kaisel that practically pinned this guy down, some Levant to put on a pair of tzul, and then the guy starts crying like a babe. And all of us have seen things like that. What is that? That's a hisgalus of ahava. So he's only imitating a religious Jew by putting on tefillin. I'm not religious. I don't wear tefillin. So what the Lubavitch is telling him is, imitate being religious. Just for a moment, make believe you're religious. Close your eyes and make believe you're like your grandfather, your great-grandfather, and put these leather straps on. You remember you had a grandfather used to, you heard that they wore leather straps? I heard. So just for a second, what does it hurt you? You can't do a Jew a favor? So put on the leather straps and make believe you're your grandfather for a second. Right? Like the guy that's imitating the B'dichim. And then the guy, what is it? A box with some straps? And the guy, ooh. It's a whole hiskalis of ahava. Mama, she explodes. What is that? Yainosi samosi. Even though the act of putting on tefillin is itself an impersonation, it's an act that began insincerely, just to get this guy off my back, right? But Yainosi samosi. And then the person can realize, just the Rebbe understood, that a person can realize that be'emes, be'emes, my entire life, 30, 40, 50 years of living a life of Esav, that was the biggest Aino, that was the biggest deception of all. And the one moment of putting on tefillin. Like if Shlomo used to say, Shlomo Kalibach used to say that story about, I mentioned many times over the years, he said that there was this English professor from Hebrew University who was fighting in the Six Day War, and that he was the tank was blown up and he was lying there dying, and the other soldiers all of his chavayim, everybody had to run for their lives, and he was lying there bleeding to death, you know, in the sand somewhere. And his whole life this guy was teaching literature, you know, Shakespeare and Chavez, Milton, you know, his whole life he's teaching this stuff, and he raises children not to believe in anything. And while he was bleeding to death, he started to remember, like, you know, when he put on film that when he was a kid and his grandfather sat with him and taught him whatever, a little schneis or something, some Torah. And then he was wondering, how come, as I'm lying here bleeding to death, how come I'm not thinking of, like, my doctoral dissertation? I should be thinking about that, or at least thinking about my wife or kids. There's only one thing I'm thinking about, is that for 1 minute of my life, I was a religious Jew when my grandfather put tefillin on me. That's what I'm thinking about. And he said while he was lying there bleeding, he started to cry, and he swore that if, Rabbi Nishan, if you bring me out of this, then I'll start again. I'll try again, and I'll tell my kids that you exist, and so on. And he woke up in a hospital. Some of the other chevra, they found him. They slept him out. So what's he lying there thinking about? Because 1 minute he put on tefillin. For 1 minute he put on tefillin when he was bar mitzvah. Everything else in his life was anti-tefillin. He made speeches against Yiddishkeit his whole life. And as his life force was slipping away, so the machshava is a machshava of what? Of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. Because at that moment there are no games. At that moment the act is over. The impersonation of Esav is finished. So what's he going to lie there on the floor, you know, to be or not to be? That is the question. What's he going to do? I mean, think about it. What are you going to do there? You tell him, listen, to be or not to be. You're not going to be in a minute or two. To be or not to be. Whether it is noble in the mind, it's so, you know, there's... At that moment, there's no... At that moment, it's not... It's just like the way we feel on Yom Kippur, by Hashem Elokim. So the whole business of trying, you know, of cool and dude and chill out and, you know, it all falls away. The whole game is just gone. And at that moment, it's Yanasi Tamos. That means that whenever we do an act of Kiddush, understand that whenever we act in a way that's holy. And we close our eyes and we shuckle, even though we're thinking about something else. Again, it's not the tachlis. That, the Rebbe is saying, is a hisgalus, is an emes a hisgalus of who you are. That's really who you are. And he says, shepnimis nafshe hakedoshim misayreves be'emes lashon. The gamba, not just finish this paragraph, the gamba in this, the gamba hanal, loy predimyon chibulvadhu. So it is when you in your mind, when you're thinking, when you're davening, halos Hashem leshamayim, that you're joining together with all the birds and with all the animals, with every single being in the world and all the malachim, and you're saying halos Hashem, and you're davening, and everything in the world is praising Hashem. So this is loy predimyon chibulvadhu. It's not just, you think it's some sort of a ridiculous delusion. It's a fantasy. He says, no, if you're thinking and you're concentrating and you have this hergish and your dimyun of kedusha has been niskadish nischazik, that's the real world. The real world is that everything is crying out to Hashem. That's the mitzvah of who you are and what the world is. And for that moment you were able to get beyond the act. As be'emes l'amita kein hu. Malach, it's true. Malach kel b'morim kulam ahuvim, kulam ruvim, kulam kedoshim. All the angels, kulam ahuvim, kulam kedoshim. Hayifanim v'chayis ha-kadosh, barash gadol. It's all happening. Hayifanim v'chayis ha-kadosh, barash gadol. There's a tumult in the world. There's a big tumult. There's a big commotion in the universe. And because you're able in your dimyan to strengthen the machshava, that feeling, that hergish, so you were able for that moment to come into contact with something that really is. Hashemesh v'hayireach, the sun, the moon, ha'aretz emloya, and everything on the earth, everything. V'ata b'soichem, and you too. Oymrim yachad u'b'kol echad shiris v'sishbochas Hashem. Everything and yourself, a yachad or b'kol echad, is singing out shiras v'sishbachas l'Hashem, songs and praises of the Rebbeinu Shlomo. And when a person thinks like that, that's what the Tanya is saying. When a person lives this way, and he realizes this, and he lives with this machshava, then he realizes it's takat karav elach hadavam ma'ay. It's very easy to reveal the Rebbeinu Shlomo in your life. The only reason is, why is it hard for us to reveal the Rebbeinu Shlomo in ourselves? Because we think that it's weird. We think that it's not us. And when something is not you, if you walk into, let's say you're going for an interview, you know, you want to get a job, and you're going for an interview, and they give you some test, they take out a piece of paper, and and they ask you questions about physics, and you look at this paper, you know. You never took physics, or you took it and you failed it, and you don't. You're like, what is this? It's totally inconsistent. It's totally not me, and I can't do this. So the reason that we fail is because when we look at something, and if it strikes us, we're very, very nishpa. We're very affected and influenced by our first impression. And when your impression of something is that it's not me, it's not who I am, so then you can't do it. You can't do it. And much of our Yiddishkeit is like that. Even though we go through the motions, because we're Orthodox. I mean, we officially, you know, belong. So we go through the motions, but it's not, if you feel that it's the emes is not me, so then it can't change you. It can't be mashpia. But if you realize the emes, that's who you are. And when you're doing something that's not right, then it's the emes not who you are. Then there's the miracle of Chanukah. Then it's Rabbi Biyad Ba'atim, Tmeim Biyad Tahirim, Mishram Biyad Tzadikim. Then there's the Nitzachim of Chanukah that could take place. Okay, Mishram, we'll continue.